بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمدہ و نصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد، الحمدللہ، وی مووڈ آن ٹو دا نائنتھ سیشن دیٹ وی آر ڈسکسنگ دا پرائز لیس ڈیڈ آف عمرہ اینڈ دا سیکرڈ حرمز. اینڈ آئی ہیو بین مینشننگ دیز لاسٹ فیو سیشنز واٹ our exalted Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala refers to when he says fihi ayatun bayyinat, in it are clear signs. And thus far we've mentioned the glorious Kaaba itself, the black stone, the maqam of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the Yemeni corner, the blessed graves of the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, and the shade of the Kaaba and the Iltizam. So there's one more glorious gift which is probably the clearest sign of all, and that is the blessed water of Zamzam. So in Ibn Abi Shaybah, in his Al-Musannaf 1-189, Abdullah Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said Zamzam is from the springs of paradise. Zamzam is from the springs of paradise. Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhuma, he elucidated, there is a spring of paradise from paradise on the side facing the black stone in the well of Zamzam. This is in Qurtubi in his Tafsir 9-370. So from these two great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we learn that Zamzam, the source of Zamzam, is paradise. It's actually a spring from paradise. And Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu pinpointed the location. He said, it's on the side facing the black stone. This is where the spring emerges. And you'll notice that towards that direction is the blessed mountains Safa and Marwa. So now, it's well documented, but the Zamzam is, the source is really unknown. The first strange thing about the Zamzam is that it's shallow. If you go down just a few meters, you will see the water. And it looks like it's seeping out of the walls itself. So obviously the source for them, they can't trace it. And how could it when it's from paradise? The other strange thing about the well, or where the water is now extracted, is that there's no algae around the surface. Any well you have, you'll notice greenery around the wall surface. It's absolutely crystal clear. There's no contaminant whatsoever. So this is an absolutely clear sign. And to crown it off, it's in a desert. You know, so if it was anywhere else in the world, you'd think it's still a miracle. But the fact that it's in a desert and the water is pure, and when they actually analyze the blessed water, there are four poisonous elements in water. None of those four were found in Zamzam. Arsenic, lead, etc., etc. So all of the elements which are actually harmful in water, none of them were found. And they've actually found other enzymes within it, which they don't know what it is. So whatever angle you look at the blessed water of Zamzam, its origin, the water itself, it all points out to a divine source. But note again, it's right next to the holy Kaaba. Another thing which is certainly worth mentioning about the blessed water of Zamzam, in Fath al-Bari, number 3887, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullah alayh, he said, if any water was more virtuous or superior to Zamzam, then most certainly it would have been used to wash the pure heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If any water was more virtuous or superior to Zamzam, then most certainly it would have been used to wash the pure heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is a very important clarification. our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beloved and blessed heart was washed miraculously by the angels. The scholars differ whether it was more than once, but that's not relevant. It was certainly washed. What was it washed with? All of the traditions mentioned Zamzam. So the question to pose is, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He could have used any water to wash the heart of His beloved. The rivers of paradise, the springs of paradise, or other source. Why was Zamzam used? So you have two answers. One is, Allah Ta'ala chose an inferior water to wash the heart of the Prophet. Can you accept that? So the answer is no. So the response is that Zamzam must therefore be the greatest water that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if an objection is posed, but it's on the earth, the response is yes, but it's from paradise. So think about that. The water that was used to wash the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart was the blessed Zamzam. Also, there's other things which are worth mentioning about the blessed water. In Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 4-58, Wahb ibn Munabbih rahmatullah alayhi, he said, to look at Zamzam is also an act of worship and it removes one's sins. To look at Zamzam is also an act of worship and it removes one's sins. So note how many priceless things there are around the Holy Kaaba, including the Kaaba. By merely looking at it or looking at them, your sins are forgiven. Zamzam is one of them. So even when you look at the blessed water, just looking at the water starts removing your sins by the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look how pure it is, the purest water. Not only pure, by looking at it, it's purifying your sins. It has a spiritual impact upon you. And it's an act of worship as well. Think about that, just to look at the blessed water. There's a few things that we need to be careful of when taking the Zamzam. In Ibn Majah, number 3061, and it's Hassan in Irwa ul-Ghalil 4-25. Our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily between us and the hypocrites is that they do not benefit from Zamzam. Verily between us and the hypocrites is that they do not benefit from Zamzam. I.e., they use it only to quench their thirst and they do not use it for anything else. So this is a sign of hypocrisy. And how many Muslims fall into that category? Because I'm thirsty, I need Zamzam. And they drink it. And is that all you use Zamzam for, brother? To quench your thirst? Yes. You're a munafiq. The Prophet goes, this is a munafiq. Meaning the Zamzam, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Yes, it quenches your thirst. But what the Prophet was saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is use it, learn how to use the Zamzam. And if you ask people, they don't have a clue. You go, how do I drink it? Forget about taking wasila. They don't even know how to drink the Zamzam. Shall I stand up? Shall I sit down? Do I face the Kaaba? Right? And all of these shows the lack of knowledge of the Muslims. And if there's a distinction between us and the munafiqs, isn't this knowledge obligatory? Right? Think about that. Right? Isn't this knowledge obligatory for you to acquire? So, what did our beloved Messenger use it for? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used it for many things. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Jabir radiyallahu anhu said, whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to drink from Zamzam, he said, I am now drinking it to quench my thirst on the day of judgment. I am now drinking it to quench my thirst on the day of judgment. Wasila. So think about that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was drinking the Zamzam. Before he drank it, he was making a dua. Ya Allah, I'm drinking this so that I will not be thirsty on the day of judgment. He's teaching you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Use the Zamzam. Also, in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, is Hassan in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 1124 or 1-45. Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Jabir radiyallahu anhum, they both related. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for a bucket of Zamzam water. He then drank from it and made wudu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for a bucket of Zamzam water. He then drank from it and made wudu. So this is a sunnah. So he drank, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he did wudu with the priceless water. So now look how interesting. The first interesting thing was he asked for the bucket. He didn't take it from the well. And like I mentioned, I'll mention it briefly. One of the things that you can do with normal water is that if you take a bucket of water, or a amount of water, and you do wudu with that water, and whatever water remains in that container, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it has got 70 shafas, or over 70 shafas. So normal water becomes purifying. It gives you physical well-being. The hadith is in Daylami, in his Musnad al-Firdaus. What about Zamzam? The Prophet took the water, but look how interesting, it was the opposite. Normally with normal water, the Prophet ﷺ did wudu first. Then he would stand, and then he would drink the remaining water for the shafa. In this authentic report, the Prophet drank first, then did wudu. So that has to have significance. Think about that, maybe to distinguish between the two different types of water. So this is something which the Prophet did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what are the etiquettes? There's three. So in Abu Nu'aym al-Hiliyah 4-58, Wahab ibn Munabbih rahmatullah alayhi, he said, whoever drinks to his fill of Zamzam and then performs wudu with it will then gain its blessings, his ailments will leave him, and he will be cured. So this is the first report. So what did the great Wahab ibn Munabbih rahmatullah alayhi say? You drink to your fill. And really the only place you can drink Zamzam to your fill is there. Because when people give, when you invited a haji or a person from Umrah returns, you get a bit of the Zamzam. You can't drink to your fill. In fact, you'd be rude to ask, can you give me a liter? Right? You know, usually you get a little bit of water, that's it. But when you're there, you're spoiled. Everywhere there's Zamzam. So the first thing is you drink to your fill. That's number one. Then you perform wudu with it. Now look how interesting. That's exactly what the Prophet did. Wahab ibn Munabbih didn't relate back to the Prophet. But this is the trait of the Salaf. They wouldn't go back to the Prophet out of taqwa. But then he added something. He said, if you do this, you will take the blessings of Zamzam. Your ailments will leave you. You will be cured. So now look how interesting. How many places around the Kaaba physically cure you? The Black Stone, the Maqam of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam, Zamzam. But fruitcakes, not preparing. I'm ready to go. Got my toothbrush ready. Is that your preparation? Right? So that's two things. But there's a third thing. In Darukutni 2-288. Hakim in his Mustadrak, number 1739. Abdul Razak in his Musannaf, number 9112. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he would drink Zamzam. He would then make a dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan wasi'an wa shifa min kulli da'in. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you for beneficial knowledge, for an expanse in my sustenance, and a cure from all ailments. This is the dua. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he would make a dua after drinking. Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan wasi'an wa shifa min kulli da'in. What's left? The dua is very short, but it absolutely comprehensive. Ilman nafian, give me useful knowledge. Expand my sustenance, dunya. And give me complete cure. So you can make your own tejek in dua, no problem. Go ahead, knock yourself up, brother, right? But I'd rather stick to what the ones who've been promised paradise. Right? So this is the dua of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. It goes back to the Prophet, but it has a weakness. So just to reiterate, so this is the three things to you that you take, how to take from the Zamzam. The first is you drink Zamzam to your fill. The second is you perform wudu with it. And the third is you make a dua, preferably the dua of Ibn Abbas. And just out of experience, it's better to apply this after the prayers. Because obviously if you drink to your fill, it won't be too long before you'll be going to the toilet. Right? So obviously if you're around the holy Kaaba, which you will be, and if you're doing tawaf and all of a sudden, you're going to have a problem. So time it. So basically when you, let's say you want to return back to your accommodation, then do this. So by the time you get back, inshallah, everything will be okay. Right? So again, you know, be careful when you do this. You don't want to be in a situation where you're running around looking for the, you know, a call of nature. Right? So again, this is something to reflect on. What else did the Holy Prophet do with Zamzam? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad 3-394 with a Sahih chain of transmission, one of the companions of the radiyallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poured Zamzam on his head. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poured Zamzam on his head. Sahih hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad. So all of these are priceless things. People just make things up. You see them, you know, putting it on their head, and they don't even know it's sunnah. By chance they got it right. Another person starts gargling. What is he gargling for? Right? Another person sprinkling on people. You know, what's he doing? Brother, he's blessed. He's blessed. I know he's blessed, but you're just making things up. Right? So the Prophet ﷺ poured it over his head. We don't need to know why. That's a sunnah. Also, in Daruqutni and Tabarani, one of the companions, radiyallahu anhu, said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt thirsty during tawaf. He requested Zamzam. When it was brought to him, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank from it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt thirsty during tawaf. He requested Zamzam. When it was brought to him, he drank from it. So this is another sunnah when you're doing tawaf. Right? You're doing your tawaf and you drink Zamzam. This is sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's a secret here. The secret here is, if it's a sunnah to drink Zamzam whilst performing tawaf, then would it not be an excellent deed to provide water for those performing tawaf? Bole bali Musliman, right? So imagine, you think, okay, I want to do another act of worship. So what do? You can do many things. So one thing you can do is get a couple of plastic cups, fill it with Zamzam, and as the people are walking past, say, please, Zamzam. And each time they drink, they've acted upon the sunnah, and you've made it accessible to, for them to act upon the sunnah. And don't forget, they'll be making dua for you. They won't, and what's beautiful about the supplication, they don't even know who you are. So it's not like, I know you, I'm going to do it for a complete sincere dua. Ya Allah, he's giving me whoever it is. He's in active worship. You've acted upon the sunnah, you've enabled him to act upon the sunnah. And you got Zamzam everywhere. At the same time, you can have a little drink yourself, no problem. So note, you can do so many things, right? Around the holy Kaaba. But people aren't prepared. I got my toothbrush ready, mashallah. Also, in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, 7-275, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahmatullah alayhi taba tabi'in, he said, Zamzam is like perfume. It is not refused. Zamzam is like perfume. It is not refused. So this is a sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should not refuse three things. Atar. And he mentioned other things, a cushion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here, Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, Zamzam is just like perfume. So it's disrespectful to refuse. The scholar says, makruh. So when somebody offers you, you don't say, no, it's okay, brother. Why? Because he's giving you paradise. You're saying, I don't want it. Let's put it, you know, let's break it down to what you, you know, what you're actually doing. Would you like paradise, brother? No, brother, I'm full. Right? Imagine somebody's giving you a key to Jannah that you go, I don't want it. So think about it. But if a person is genuinely full, pour it on your head, brother. That's why the Prophet probably poured it on his head. Do wudu with it, brother. You don't have to drink it. Right? But always take the zamzam. This is another bad characteristic that people have. They think it's polite. Oh, brother, it's okay. May Allah reward you. No. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you. I can never do it. Have enough of zamzam. So note here, don't refuse zamzam. Do you drink it sitting or standing? So you get big arguments, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did drink standing. He actually stood and he drank zamzam standing. When he came to normal water, his usual practice sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to drink it sitting. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever drinks standing, let him vomit." Meaning it causes harm, and they've actually proved it does cause harm to the digestive tract. It goes down too fast. But with zamzam, he drank it standing. Look how significant. Meaning, how can zamzam cause any harm? Because in other words, he drank standing. Question, can you drink sitting? In Tirmidhi, number 1833, Hassan Sahih, Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, he said, I saw sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drinking zamzam while standing and sitting. I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drinking zamzam while standing and sitting. It doesn't matter. You can stand and you can drink. You can sit and you can drink. Don't worry about it. Both is from the sunnah. And one of the scholars actually pointed out, maybe Rasulullah stood because he wanted people to see how to drink the zamzam. But we don't need to know. He did drink standing. There's no problem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Drink standing or sitting. And if you do both, you've covered both, inshallah. So, zamzam is one of the most clearest and signs around the holy Kaaba, which Allah Ta'ala has graciously given. The history of it, which we should know, but I'll mention it very briefly. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he left his wife, Bibi Hajar, radiallahu anha, and his young son, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, in Makkah. At the time, there was nothing there. It was just desert. Even the Kaaba was not there. So there was absolutely nothing there. Just left him. When he left his beloved wife and son, Bibi Hajar radiallahu anha said, are you leaving us here in this forsaken place? He didn't even speak, didn't say nothing to them. As he's walking away, she says, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal this to you? And he nodded his head. Then she said, then Allah ta'ala won't leave us. So if you stop the report in Sahih Bukhari, what level of iman is that? Imagine you leave your wife, middle of Sahara Desert, with your young child. Right? You know, what level of iman for a woman to say, Allah ta'ala won't abandon us. So anyway, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaves, and the report says that he leaves, and when they're out of his eyesight, he stops. And then he makes the dua in the Quran. Because I have left my family in a barren land. He goes, Ya Allah, bless them. And he mentioned duas, various parts of the Quran. Bless them with fruits. And what's interesting is, when you go to Makkah, you don't even know you're in a desert. Fruits, every fruit on earth is there. What's fruit doing in desert? That's the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And he made dua, he goes, Ya Allah, bless them and raise them amongst them a prophet who will guide them. And of course, a dua for Rasulullah to be from Makkah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he leaves, he goes back to Palestine. So Bibi Hajar, radiyallahu anha, she had some dates that was given. That quickly ran out. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, he begins to cry. So Bibi Hajar radiyallahu anha, she's between Safa and Marwa. Safa and Marwa are right next to the Kaaba. If you've never been, you know, you need to know this. Some people, they haven't been, so they don't know what you're talking about. So the Kaaba, in distance terms, now, if where I'm sitting is the Kaaba, Safa Marwa now is like about 200 yards away from the Kaaba. So she leaves her son. She goes to Safa, hoping to find somebody. She climbs the mountain. No, nothing there. She runs back to her son to see whether he is, and he's still crying. She then runs to Marwa, the other mountain, hoping to find something. Nobody there. She runs back to her son. And this process continued 7 times between Safa and Marwa. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is why we do Sa'i. This is part of the Hajj and the Umrah. Right? The Sa'i is between Safa and Marwa to emulate what Bibi Hajar did, radiyallahu. And then when the 7th time was completed, when she came back, she saw, and the reports differ. One was Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Jibreel kicked his foot on the ground, and the Zamzam emerged. This is why, where the Zamzam came from. The other report said, Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam, even though he was a child, his foot, he kicked his foot onto the floor, and the Zamzam emerged. Maybe they both did it. Then the report in Sahih Bukhari says, Bibi Hajar radiyallahu anha then feared that there won't be enough water. And if you think about that, you know, how humorous is that? You know, she's thinking just for her own son. And what was Allah Ta'ala wanting? Till Qiyamah. Right? So, and then she does something and she puts kind of a basin around the water. You know, she gets like a mud, puts it all the way around to trap the water. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on Bibi Hajar. If she had left it, you would have had a river. Imagine, river emerges from nowhere. But now you've got a well because she did what she did. So that is the history of Zamzam. Now what's interesting, Safa and Marwa, the well of Zamzam is actually very close to the Kaaba. Safa and Marwa is further out. So where exactly did the water emerge from? So the response is the water source is next to the Kaaba. It could emerge from various places around the Kaaba. There is no contradiction. The water was Safa Marwa also is very close to the Kaaba as well. But like I mentioned, the water is truly amazing. And it's absolutely perfect for that climate. People lose a lot of sweat because of the humidity. And it's very high in terms of replenishing the minerals that you lose. They've proved it's very, very beneficial. Also, our beloved messenger mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it serves as a food and a drink. You can actually live off Zamzam. You don't need to eat. And it was actually proved, the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, where a companion called Abu Dharr radiyallahu anhu, he wanted to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his brother warned him. He goes, look, you can't approach him because the unbelieving Quraysh, they are targeting him. So he goes, be careful. So Abu Dharr goes, fine, no problem. He leaves the Ghifar tribe, he comes to Makkah, and he goes straight to the Kaaba. And then the report says that he doesn't talk to anybody. And all he said was, I was drinking Zamzam. And he goes, I only lived off Zamzam for a month, nothing else. For 1 month, didn't have nothing to eat. And he goes, I started feeling fat on my stomach. So not only did it sustain him, he put weight on. And then eventually the report says, Ali radiyallahu anhu says, who are you? Why have you come? And then eventually he took him to the Prophet and then the report says he embraced Islam. But the relevant part of the report says that Abu Dharr goes, Zamzam, there's something about this water. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zamzam is for whatever you intend. Meaning, you can make any intention as a wasila. So if it's for shafa, make that intention. If it's for, you know, finance, make that intention. If it's for getting married, make that intention. If it's for the akhirat, make that intention. Right? Can you combine intentions? Yes. However, if you look at the reports, the Prophet usually only did one intention. Right? So it's better to follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for instance, you may have a list of du'as that you need for you know, Allah Ta'ala to answer. So every time you drink Zamzam, take one off. Do wasila with one of them. Right? So when you drink it once, right, this is for this. Next time I'll make a wasila for something else. So note, this is another gift. And from a non-Muslim perspective, how on earth do you explain Zamzam? Imagine, you know, you say to them, yes, Makkah is our holiest of holies. And they, most of them know that. But then you say to them two things. Say, look, I would just like to point out two things to you. Number one, the center of the earth is Makkah. That's proved. So why is Makkah the center of the earth when it has no relevance to the Jews or the Christians? Why has God done that? The second thing is Zamzam. And they don't know what Zamzam is. Right? And then you tell them, it's a desert. People used to travel miles to get water. But this water has been supplying people, millions and millions and millions of people, over millennia, and it's still flowing. They've tried to work out where the source is. They don't know where it's coming from. I'd like you to be aware of that. Have you told them, the Muslims, this? So no, there are clear signs. Not just for Muslims, right? But also to tell the non-Muslims. Why? Get them interested. What's all this about Makkah? And then eventually you can put the bombshell in. Rasulullah was born there. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, right? Allah Ta'ala simply and beautifully says, "Fihi ayatun bayyinat." In it are clear signs. So note Zamzam. I wanted to spend a session on that most blessed water. Question, just to wrap up. If it has all these blessings, for example, Shafa, then why do people not get cured? You'll get, you know, amazing reports where people who are very, very ill and they miraculously recover drinking Zamzam. We've heard those reports. But at the same time, you have to be brutally honest. Other people drink Zamzam, they don't recover, they pass away. So the response is, the Shafa is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Shafa is good, Allah Ta'ala will give the Shafa. But sometimes the Shafa is not good for the person. Allah Ta'ala knows what's best. So if you're his guest and you want Shafa, but Allah Ta'ala knows that if I give you Shafa, you may end up losing your iman. Isn't it better for you not to get Shafa? So there's ways to explain. The important thing is not to get doubts. You understand? Not to doubt anything with regards to these gifts of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, what a tremendous gift given to us by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات تواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالصبر